The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet. So I never know when I say that if she's going to be there, because Janet moves around a lot, and she'll be joining us shortly. I want to start off today talking about one of the most difficult decisions a patient ever has to make. And that is what to do if they're diagnosed with cancer. Because at least the patients I see question the current approach to cancer treatments, namely the use of chemotherapy and radiation. And I have to even go a step further, and I question their approach to surgery, not whether or not surgery should be done, so much as how they do it. Just want to briefly explain what I mean. And I'm speaking more specifically about breast cancer, because we had a patient yesterday that came in, you know, with that question, you know, what should she do? She was just diagnosed with breast cancer. And I asked her, I said, well, she had a mammogram. This is what typically goes on. They had a mammogram. They saw something suspicious. So then they stick needles in it and they find cancer. And then they said they waited about 3 or 4 weeks before they did the lumpectomy. And now they're starting, they wanted to start chemo and radiation, and that's where she wanted to get more information. My recommendation is, if you have a suspicious mammography, the next step should be to get an MRI of the breasts, because that's going to be a very reliable test, number one, and far better than a mammogram, and in some cases may even avoid the need for a needle biopsy for two reasons. One is because they can tell that that suspicious area on mammography was not cancer, or that suspicious area is cancer, and then the approach could be different. You don't have to go start sticking needles in tiny little areas of the breast, increasing the risk of spread. My recommendation at that point would be to do what's called either an excisional biopsy or a core biopsy, where you don't stick a needle into the tumor, you take it out with the surrounding normal tissue, and that should reduce risk of spread. But you want to do the MRI before that, because in many cases, you could have other lesions in the breast that you might not have picked up with a plain mammogram, so that means you're missing it. But wouldn't it be better if you didn't have to make that decision what to do now that I've been diagnosed with cancer? Well, last year they published a study that suggested that most cancers are not the, if you ask the doctor what causes cancer, he says, well, bad luck, you had a mutated cell and it grew and became cancer. Well, that was the study back in 2015 suggesting that it's, the new study suggests that it's not bad luck. The new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Oncology found that if you changed your lifestyle, in other words, it wasn't a matter of luck that you get cancer. If you changed your lifestyle, the incidence of cancer would drop by 20 to 40%, as well as cancer-related deaths could drop by as much as 50%. So the point I'm saying is, I think each of us should make a decision, perhaps, to live our lives as if we could get cancer. Well, and statistically that's true. They say one out of two, maybe one out of three people get cancer. So if you live your lives as if you could get cancer, then you might be more motivated to make those changes that can actually cut your risk of developing cancer by 50% or more. Now, that patient yesterday with breast cancer said, you know, she neglected herself. She was under stress. She stopped exercising. And that may have indeed have been what increased her risk of developing breast cancer. The researchers out of Harvard had an extensive study going on where they assessed the healthy lifestyle patterns and cancer incidence of 136,000 white American healthcare professionals. The participants were divided into two groups. You had the low-risk group, those are the people who lived a healthy lifestyle, and a high-risk group, those who didn't. Now, you know, we'll try and define what healthy means and what unhealthy means, or what high-risk means, because it means different things to different people. So a healthy lifestyle, this is how they defined that. People that only drank a little bit or no drinking at all had a body mass index between 18.5 and 27.5, and weekly physical activity on a regular basis, and non-smokers. So it really wasn't very drastic, that healthy lifestyle by their definition. Imagine the improvement that could be attained if you went a little beyond that. The authors of the study claimed that people who never smoked or stopped smoking stayed fit, managed their weight, and had no more than a drink or two a day, dramatically slashed their risk of dying from cancer by half. On the other hand, it was no surprise that lung cancer deaths could be reduced by up to 80% through living a healthy, smoke-free life. And they also reported that more than a fifth of the cases of colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, and kidney cancer could be prevented if people changed the way they live. So it's, I think a lot of people, the people that listen to this program and are on the same wavelength that, you know, we are, Janet and myself, of course, understand all this. But I think the majority of the people out there, including physicians, haven't addressed the possibility of improving people's potential of avoiding cancer. So if you were to extrapolate, in other words, apply these statistics to the U.S. population, the general population, the researchers found that for women, an estimated 41% of cancer cases and 59% of cancer deaths were preventable. And for men, 63% of cancer cases were preventable and 67% reduced risk of death was recorded. But nobody's talking about this possibility. I mean, there isn't a treatment in the world that gives you a guarantee of this type of response. Now, there were some criticisms of the study. For example, all participants included in the study were white. The high-risk group in the study was healthier than the general U.S. population, and dietary habits were not taken into account. Now, you know, that may be a good thing or a bad thing as far as who was chosen. Perhaps people who had a worse lifestyle and they made a 180-degree change might even see a better improvement in their risk of developing cancer. But despite, you know, those criticisms, there is no doubt that there is a strong link between lifestyle factors and cancer. But we could extend that. There's a strong link between lifestyle factors and any disease. So what's the point of all this? The point is that prevention not the development of new treatments, should become the primary focus to control diseases like cancer. But do you see that actually happening? You know, I wonder sometimes when a study comes out on chelation therapy, for example, that shows the trial to assess chelation therapy, a government-funded study showing that it is truly effective, and it in a diabetic group showed a 36% improvement compared to the control group, and insurance companies do not cover it in the context of coronary artery disease. So you really have to wonder what their underlying goal is. So there was an accompanying editorial written by a professor of epidemiology, you know, who basically said cancer is a preventable disease. And you'd heard of, you know, said that. We, in fact, remember a few weeks ago we had, I had suggested you listen to that internet broadcast of about breast cancer and how it's preventable. As a society, he said, we need to avoid delay in changing our lifestyle, because that delay is increasing your risk of developing all diseases, not just cancer. And you shouldn't, you know, put off the changes in those, making those lifestyle changes because you hope that some major discovery will occur that will cure cancer. Now, it's interesting. Maybe a lot of people with cancer hope that's going to happen. But if you understand that the underlying cause of cancer is really a dysfunction of your body, then the cure for cancer has to come from restoring function to your body, but better yet, not allowing the dysfunction to occur in the first place. Now, this particular study talked about lifestyle, so they said, you know, primarily dietary habits and exercise, but there is one other area that has to be addressed. And I think we'll address that area. It looks like we're coming up on a break. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the other area that has to be looked into if you want to really reduce your risk of developing cancer above and beyond the 50% that I just mentioned. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janice Cimarelli should be joining us shortly, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet Cimarelli will probably be calling in, and you'll hear her voice when she does. And we were talking about the fact that healthy lifestyle, meaning a better diet, more exercise, can cut your risk of developing cancer by as much as 50%. So I think the message here is, if you focus on the fact that one out of two, one out of three people are statistically felt to get some type of cancer in their lifetime, that maybe taking those steps to prevent that from happening would be better than figuring out a way of how to treat it once it does happen. But there's another issue. So we talk about lifestyle, better eating and exercise, but there's another issue. And what's happened in China is a good example of that. There are villages in China that are called cancer villages. And the reason for that is those villages have been exposed to arsenic. Arsenic from industrial pollution. It came from, mining certain minerals. And chronic exposure to arsenic was increasing the risk of cancer because of the exposure to the arsenic. And they say here that the Chinese officials put a stop to this type of mining back in 2011 due to the immense pollution they caused. The chronic toxicity, however, is still a problem. Even though they stopped the mining, the toxicity from the arsenic didn't go away. In one particular town, persistent dust and runoff from holding tanks where these minerals were stored continue to harm the environment, continue to damage crops, and continue to affect people in the area. So how does that affect us in this country? Because you say, well, that's happening in China. Nothing like that could happen in America. But as has been mentioned, America's heartland, where all the, most of the agriculture occurs, use a lot of compounds that contained arsenic. Arsenic was used in pesticides and herbicides. And hopefully they've stopped using those types, but they have, but they're still in the environment just like they are in China. All right, we have a caller, Janet.
And good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning. Have you had a chance to listen in?
I haven't. I am just now finishing up with the weigh-in that I did for the Tropical Financial Credit Union. So we're getting started with a weight loss program over the next 6 weeks. So that's where I've been, and that's why I'm late. So what is the discussion this morning?
Well, before we get to that, I'm just curious. Did you watch everybody get weighed?
I was the weigher in person, and determining how much they weighed and then finding out what their goals were and finding out a little bit about what their problem issues might have been. And so it's a very individual thing. We're going to work on their individual issues. However, there are just some really basic things that are applicable to all of the people that I met with. So drinking enough water, eating protein at every meal, bumping up the vegetable intake, and then very much working on what is possible for their exercise.
And what was the heaviest person who weighed in?
The heaviest person was, I believe, 220.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Well, it was so interesting, Dr. Slavin, because one of the people had lost 100 pounds over the past year and a half. So...
So they should have waited to join the contest.
Could teach me a thing or two.
You know, I said it's too bad. They, you know, they could have joined the contest before they lost the weight. They would have could have been a winner.
They'd certainly be the biggest winner.
All right. So let me bring you up to speed here. So there was a report out that you could cut the death rate from cancer in half through lifestyle changes. And which meant better diets and exercise. And now I was just getting into another area that wasn't mentioned in that study or that report, talking about the impact of the environment on your health. And there were cities or little towns in China, they call them cancer villages because of the high incidence of cancer. And the one thing they had in common was a polluted environment. They were indicating these were areas where they were mining substances that had arsenic in it. And arsenic, of course, is a deadly toxin that used to be used widely in herbicides and pesticides in this country. Hopefully, they've cut down on the use of arsenic. But just because you stop using the product doesn't immediately remove arsenic from the environment. Soil, groundwater, even private wells in some areas are testing positive for arsenic. And the food crops being grown right now, particularly rice in the south, are contaminated with arsenic. Last year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration looked into the arsenic levels found in domestic rice. And here's what they found. More than 1,300 samples of rice and rice-based products that were tested by the agency, nearly all of them tested positive for arsenic, with the highest levels identified in so-called healthy brown rice. Another area is factory-farmed chicken is another major source of arsenic, as many commercial chicken feed products contain added arsenic. Well, why is that? The chickens are fed with organic version of arsenic for growth promotion and disease protection. So so there's another area. So, and Janet, I preface this talk because of a patient that came in yesterday who had had a lumpectomy for breast cancer, and she was being told, you know, you have to go in for radiation and chemotherapy. And she really wasn't sure that she wanted to do that. You know, in, you know, she just had a gut feeling that that's not the best approach. You know, so she had a consult with me to talk about alternative approaches. And we were just pointing out that it's so much better if you knew that you have a 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 chance of getting cancer, you know, might you not want to take the steps to reduce those odds? So that's, again, you know, changing your eating habits, changing your exercise habits, but also paying attention to the environment. And the best way I know to try and reduce your exposure to these toxic elements in the environment is to make sure that your source of water is purified and that you're consuming as much organic food as possible and avoiding, you know, processed food. So that's, you know, that's the message here, that you have control. You know, there is no treatment for cancer that can guarantee a 50% success rate. And yet we have control to reduce our risk by 50%, probably even more than that if you take into one other factor that is associated with developing cancer, and that is stress. So you have the stress, you have the environment, you have your eating habits, and you have your exercise habits. Those are the areas of focus if you want to reduce your risk of cancer, but also, you know, reduce your risk of all diseases. So, you know, that's the challenge. And where you are today, they're going to have to address most of those areas if they hope to lose weight.
It's very much an issue because some of the people that I did work with today did have some issues that they had to address with regard to serious threats to their health. Certainly blood pressure elevation, glucose levels being elevated, and in some cases having had a diagnosis of cancer. So making the dietary and lifestyle changes truly will turn out to be lifesavers. And if people say, well, you know, the technology in oncology treatment has progressed so dramatically, and they have very high quality approaches to overcome cancer. Yes, that's true. However, you never know which individual is going to be suffering with the side effects associated with those treatments. And I had a client yesterday, a young woman, and dealing with chemo brain, even though she used the penguin cap during the chemotherapy treatment, insomnia and anxiety. And so for each one of those situations, she was offered a medication, and each one of those medications that she was given have its own list of side effects. So yes, our treatment options have been dramatically enhanced. However, those treatment options do come with some the potential for some side effects. So you certainly want to work on the prevention aspect, and we have so much information about prevention.
It sounded to me like people actually believe that the cure rate for cancer is very high.
I think that many times they are given some statistics by their oncologist that potentially put them in an area of hope and belief that is kind of super positive without any discussion about what might be some of the negatives associated with the treatment.
Now, Janet, there's that music, which means it's time for us to take another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about cancer and how it just makes more sense to me to work on preventing it than to try and determine what to do once a diagnosis of cancer is made. And one of the more difficult things to find are actual statistics regarding cancer. You know, what we see is they talk about death rates. Well, death rates, that's a manipulated number because, you know, the rate is not a hard number. It's based on the number of diagnoses and the number of deaths, and they can, in all different ways, manipulate the number. What you really want to see is just how many people get cancer. That's a fixed number. Just how many people die from cancer. And if you want to find out if things are improving, what you want to do is see the actual death rate decline over time. Actually, not the death rate, but the number of people dying from that cancer. Because, as I mentioned before, the death rate is the number of people diagnosed with cancer and over the number of people dying from cancer. So here's an example. If you have 100 people diagnosed with cancer and 20 of them die from cancer, the death rate is 20%. Now, let's say you go all out and you try and do more diagnostic tests to find people with cancer. And now, out of the same population you were dealing with before, but because you've done more testing, you found instead of 100 people with cancer, you found 200 people with cancer, yet the same number is still dying, 20%. I mean, 20 people. The death rate has gone down to 10%. So that's why I'm saying the numbers can be misleading. What you want to see is, has the actual number of people dying gone down? And that's the number that is very hard to find. You don't want to see, numbers about rates. And you don't know what their statistic is when you say the death rate. You want to see the actual number. That they keep that a secret, more or less. Difficult to find. Let me see. You know, the numbers I have seen, by the way, you know, looking at, say, breast cancer or prostate cancer, is that the actual number of deaths haven't changed, yet the death rate has gone down. And it's gone down for the exact reason that I've just explained. They've gone out and diagnosed more people with breast or prostate cancer. How do they do that? Start sticking needles in the prostate or the breast. They find more people with cancer. By the way, studies have shown that if you were to do that, you would probably find that 90% of people probably have prostate or breast cancer. And they would never know it, and they would never die from it. But if you start poking around for it, you're going to find it. And that's going to improve your statistics. And I think that's part of the reason you could see a decline in death rates. And I'm just looking up some statistics here. And again, the statistics can be very misleading. It says here, these are death rates show how likely an individual is to die from a different type of cancer. So they have, they say here, the percentage of patients who die within 5 years of diagnosis. So here's the best one on the list is prostate cancer. Only 0.8% are likely to die. And yet the worst one on the list, 97% of patients diagnosed with gallbladder cancer are likely to die. And 93% of pancreatic cancer are likely to die. And I'm not sure how to, you know, interpret those bad outcomes, versus, prostate cancer 0.8% and breast cancer 10% are likely to die within 5 years. Janet, did you want to? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, how might an oncologist convince someone diagnosed with pancreatic cancer to follow through with the standard cancer treatment for pancreatic cancer diagnosis? Because the statistics would tell you that most likely you'd be better off if you did nothing.
Well, or you wouldn't be worse off, actually. I think in many cases, perhaps the treatments may be a component as to why those people are not surviving. So let's go into the top 10 of people that die within 5 years. Laryngeal cancer, you have about 40%. Leukemia, about 44%. Ovarian cancer. One of those cancers, because they're diagnosed late, the mortality associated with it is high, 55%. Brain cancer, 66%. Stomach cancer, 72%. Esophageal cancer, 82%. Remember what I said earlier, those studies report lifestyle changes, exercise, and then if you pay attention to stress and the toxins in the environment, you can reduce your risk of getting cancer and die from cancer by greater than 50%. So your outcomes are actually better than the people that make up these statistics that have been receiving treatments. You know, what's not in this in these numbers, I don't think, are people that never knew they had these cancers and never got treatments, because they wouldn't be included. They wouldn't have known it. You know, for example, when they did the study on men with prostate cancer, they did the study by autopsying men who died from other causes, and that's where they came up with the number that at least 90% of them had prostate cancer, but they didn't die from it. They didn't know they had it. They died from other causes. And I think that's why you see that low statistic with prostate cancer, because in most cases, men with prostate cancer are going to live their expected lifespan and die from other causes than prostate cancer. But now, because of the PSA test and the real, the aggressiveness of urologists, had a patient in yesterday, actually. He said he was 59 and said he was treated for prostate cancer. I said, well, how did they make that diagnosis? Well, you know, he said his PSA went up quickly from 1 to 2, and they went ahead and did the biopsy, and they said, oh, you have a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. We better treat it. And I think perhaps, is it the cancer that's aggressive, or is it the environment that the cells are living in that allow them to be cancerous? And you need to change the environment, and that's what prevention does. You know, you make the environment for the growth of cancer much less desirable for cancer growth when you change your diet, when you exercise, when you avoid the environmental toxins, and cut down on stress. So when you see numbers like less than 1% of people die from prostate cancer within 5 years, I mean, that's a great number, but I don't think you can attribute that to the treatments they're receiving, because, you know, some people would interpret that, Janet, I think, say, look, we got great treatments for prostate cancer. You're diagnosed with prostate cancer, and 99% of the people are still alive after 5 years. So that's one way.
It's very interesting, because you talked about the environment and how the environment inhospitable to the growth of cancer cells is a very reasonable approach. And so here is such a simple way to make that body chemistry inhospitable to cancer cell growth, and that's bicarbonate of soda in your water. a little bit, maybe a half teaspoon in 16 ounces of water, and you're alkalizing dramatically with that bicarbonate of soda, and an alkaline body chemistry is less hospitable to cancer cells than an acidic environment. And keeping in mind that an acidic environment is associated with inflammatory diseases of all different types. So bicarbonate of soda is one suggestion. An even simpler suggestion is lemon juice in the water. Again, creating a situation of alkalinity and alkalized body chemistry, much less hospitable to cancer cells.
Janet, I just want to extrapolate a little bit more on prostate cancer. And these are mainstream sources, but they say that there may be some dietary factors involved with increased development of prostate cancer, although they haven't been definitively proven, but they say perhaps, red meat and processed meats might be a factor, and high meat consumption in general has been associated with a higher risk in some studies. It's interesting that they say that there's little evidence to support the role for dietary fruit and vegetables in prostate cancer prevention. I think the role of a healthy diet plays a role in every illness. They do make a point here that low levels of vitamin D may increase the risk of developing prostate cancer. And they really, in that study, by the way, where they said you can reduce your risk of developing cancer by 50% with a healthy lifestyle, and what they were pointing out there is a healthy lifestyle in that particular study was defined as a BMI between, I think it said, 24 and 31, something like that. You weren't terribly overweight at all, that you exercise regularly, that you didn't drink alcohol or very little, and that you controlled your weight and you didn't smoke. That was the extent. So imagine if on top of that, you increased your vitamin D levels. Now, here's an interesting point with prostate cancer, because we talk about infection and inflammation a lot, and when it comes to the prostate, the prostate is prone to inflammation or infection. They would call that prostatitis, and some think that may increase the chance of developing prostate cancer, while other studies show that infections may help prevent prostate cancer, and the rationale there is by increasing blood flow to the area, you may be actually preventing cancer. And that may have some merit to it, because we know that cancer thrives in a environment that's lacking in oxygen. And we'll have to continue this right after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about the importance of really preventing cancer, because if you get it, you know, the odds of a cure aren't that great, depending upon where you look for that information. Now, I was referring to statistics where they say that the five-year survival rate for prostate cancer is 99%. And how do you interpret that number? Is it because the treatments are so good, or is that the normal course of the disease, is that it's a very slow-growing disease, and if even left alone, you know, you're not going to die within 5 years anyway. And I think that's probably true when you compare it to other types of cancer, although the real, that, you know, that's really not settled, because prostate cancer is an easy one to diagnose, because you can start with a PSA, and if you see a change, the doctors are inclined to start sticking needles in the prostate looking for cancer. The same thing with breast cancer. That's why they can improve the statistics, as I mentioned earlier. But with cancers like gallbladder or ovarian or pancreatic, the ones with really bad outcomes, it's probably because the diagnosis is made late in the course of the disease. So those people probably had it for many years before it was ultimately diagnosed. But I want to make some other points about prostate disease and prostate cancer. So we were saying there's some discussion about whether infections increase the risk of prostate cancer or reduce the risk because of helping increase blood flow to the area. But here's something. Infections with sexually transmitted diseases like chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis seems to increase the risk of prostate cancer. And finally, they say obesity and elevated levels of testosterone may increase the risk of prostate cancer. And I have to say that in my experience, and the experience I'll have to defer to also Dr. Morgenthaler, who wrote the book on testosterone, and pointing to that one study that was done that showed a connection between testosterone and prostate cancer, where it was a flawed study. And if you actually dissect the study, you realize that it really didn't prove that. I have patients who with prostate cancer on testosterone for many years, and there doesn't seem to be that link. However, what obesity and testosterone have in common is that obesity leads to more aromatase activity, and aromatase will increase the conversion of testosterone to estrogen, and I think it's the estrogen that may be the real culprit when it comes to both enlarged prostates and prostate cancer. And then
Dr. Slavin, and keeping that information in mind, typically what might be used as a treatment for a diagnosis of prostate cancer is substances to reduce testosterone, which is just the opposite of what would actually be helpful for a prostate cancer patient. What they need is high testosterone, and ascertaining that testosterone is highly functional, which the vitamin D will help with, and to be certain that their estrogen levels are low or at least in the low mid-range.
Well, you're right, Janet. When you lower testosterone, you're actually lowering estrogen at the same time, because there won't be any estrogen because of, you know, no testosterone is available to convert to estrogen. But there are aromatase inhibitors that can be used to actually block that conversion of testosterone to estrogen. And that's what I use in these patients with prostate cancer who want to take testosterone. And the reason they're taking testosterone is because it really does improve the quality of their life. But I want to point out something else. Back in 2006, there was an unknown retrovirus referred to as XMRV that was associated with human prostate tumors. And, you know, the results are really not in yet. Is it or isn't it really associated? But I have to tell you, as we mentioned a couple of days ago, we have a patient that's been treated with polychromatic intravenous light therapy, which will improve, does a couple of things we just referred to. It will improve blood flow to the tissues of the body, and it will kill bacteria, viruses, fungus, as well as cancer cells. And his PSA level before treatment was 77, and after just 1 month of treatment, went down to 44 with no side effects. And this is a patient, by the way, that had been previously treated for prostate cancer through mainstream approaches with cryotherapy on three separate occasions, and each time it recurred. So there may be a better approach to these patients, because I think behind a lot of these cancers, as seems to be turning up more and more, there's an infectious component that's not being addressed. You know, they're going after the cancer cell, and the way they do that is the chemotherapy attacks cells that are rapidly dividing. That's why, it's effective in killing the cancer cell, but it's also effective in killing other rapidly dividing cells in your body. And those cells are found in the gastrointestinal tract. That's why people experience a lot of GI problems. It's found in your hair. That's why people lose their hair. And the only and of course your immune cells and your GI tract is the area of greatest location of immune cells. Their function is greatly diminished. The only problem is that the cancer cells seem to become immune to the treatment. So then they start to grow again, and yet your immune system hasn't become immune. So they don't respond, and I think that's the biggest drawback for using chemotherapy. And you're not addressing what might be behind the cause of the problem in the first place, and that's an infection. So, you know, just something to consider. Oh, which reminds me, this Saturday, I think we still have room for a few more people. If not, we'll take your name, and we're going to plan to do this again with a new group of people on a subsequent Saturday. And that is to explain in detail all these both diagnostic and therapeutic modalities that mainstream medicine ignores, despite the fact that they're very effective. We're talking about, as I mentioned before, the polychromatic intravenous light therapy, the use of energy medicine for both diagnosis and therapeutic treatments, the use of integrated genetic solutions, which is a way of testing your blood and taking that information in combination with your genetic makeup and coming up with the best way to address your nutritional needs and your hormonal needs. And other tests like cell well-being, which looks at the cells in your body and implements the latest area of science called epigenetics, how the environment affects your genetics and gives you the feedback you need to know what's going on in your body. So we'll show you firsthand how those treatments can benefit you. So that's this Saturday, starting at 10 o'clock. Janet will be there. And looking forward to, explaining all this to everybody. The number to call, it's at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, 954-748-4991. And, we're on, easy to get to. We're on Commercial Boulevard, just a couple blocks east of University Drive. So if you'd like to come, just give them a call at 954-748-4991. If you need directions, I'll be happy to give them to you. And, I'm really excited about that, the polychromatic intravenous light therapy. It's one of the biggest advances that I've seen lately, with truly measurable beneficial effects. The other area, you know, we've talked about a little bit too, about how the patient who couldn't walk for 3 minutes without having to stop because of poor circulation in his legs is now walking over 20 minutes because this treatment has improved his circulation to be able to walk that far. I think, you know, we started off today just talking about the benefit of preventing cancer rather than having to make the difficult decisions about what's the best approach. Because
Dr. Slavin, I think that this is the season where lots of people are thinking about travel, and they may be going just to different areas of the country, or they actually may be traveling out of the country. And I'm thinking that the UVLRX, I categorize it in a way kind of to support your immune system, just enhance how your immune system is working. And I think for people who are traveling, going to be away from home for a good bit of time, you might consider doing a treatment, the UVLRX. It will be like a primer, so to speak, for your immune system, and it can dramatically lessen the potential for your developing some sort of illness because of the change in water, the change in food that are typically associated with traveling.
And Jed, I don't know if you can hear the music, but we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank you for listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.